Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, listeners, and welcome on Blog Talk Radio, Empowered to Be You. This is Sandra Bueno, and I am the founder and the creator of the Power to Be You Network. And today is February 11th, and I am on my third segment of the Author Empowerment Series. The purpose for creating this venue is to bring about awareness, accountability, and empowerment through distinctions, through testimonies and philosophies, as well as teachings from empowered individuals, such as the guests that I have had on the Power to Be You platform. Now, specifically, at this time, we are looking at the authors that I have brought and presented through this platform because they are inherently visionaries, and they are working on their own abilities, their own life mission, their own purpose. And what I would have to say as a person, not even as the host of the show, is that we are all of the human family, the human condition, and all of us can look around us and say, things are not what they should be. There are issues in families, issues in personal relationships, issues at work, issues with education, issues with our government, with our financial conditions, and we all know that something needs to be done. And the purpose for the Power to Be You show is to bring about empowerment through knowledge and action. Once you become aware of what's available, once you listen or you realize that, hey, this is information that can bring about, that can help you gain distinctions and awareness towards something in your own life, towards the fact that you have choices, and that once you are flexible to see those choices, then you are empowered because now you can take action and you can make decisions. And we are not in this alone. We are in this together. And there are many people out there, my host, people who I've had on this show, and so many individuals that life is just bringing us together, and that now I am able to bring them on this platform. Our purpose inherently is to make this place a better place, not just with talk, but also with action and with gifts. And today's guest, Michelle Gentile, she is a wellness coach. She is no different. She is online as of now. Hopefully I did get her on. And before Michelle, are you on?
I'm here, Sandra.
Okay, excellent. Well, welcome. I would like to give the audience just a little bit of background information on you and to let them know, basically the listeners, a few weeks ago I attended a course out in Philadelphia, and this is where I had the pleasure and the gift of meeting people such as Michelle, as well as Joaquin de Posada, whom I had last week. But collectively, these individuals are people of true spirit and true just wealth of information, wealth of testimony. And really, Michelle embodies this because she has done so much in her life. I think one of the values that I really that she has is the fact that she, for over 18 years of her life, she has been a licensed occupational therapist. She is an entrepreneur. She has touched the lives of many people, whether directly or indirectly. But she is also an author who took something that was very, very personal to her and through her own artistic creativity created a book which is entitled The Treasure. And for those of you who are online right now, you can go to www.thetreasure, that's TREASURE, .mobi, MOBI, and read up on it, order the book, as well as read up on who Michelle is, what she is about, what the community she serves. And today's show is about her and putting this forth to all of you. So welcome, Michelle, on the show. It's a pleasure having you.
Thank you, Sandra, and more power to you in what you're doing and the blessings that you're giving everyone by bringing empowerment and bringing together a community of people who are on this mission to make life a better place for everyone. And so I just want to start by thanking you for your work.
Well, thank you. Now that we have that out, let's get back to the beef.
Okay. What's the beef?
Well, tell me, I mean, you know, there's so many angles that I can take this from, and I want to be be fair and kind. Like I just told you before, I said a sunrise has no boundaries.
You are that.
You know, there's. I can take a ray from you, and I know that we can just invest all of our time in that. But I really want to give the listeners a background to who you are and to why you created, I think, The Treasure, because The Treasure is such a beautiful book, and there's a message in there for all of us. So maybe we can start with that.
Oh, sure. I'd be happy to. Well, it was years ago I came upon a tiny little poem, so to speak, in a professional journal. And the story went that we create our own reality is how it started. And it was such a fascinating concept to me. I wondered, is that true? And to what extent do we create our own reality? And if so, how? And so I spent years exploring that concept. And because the story was so beautiful, it's actually from a Native American legend, that I wanted people to hold on to this idea more than just looking at it and then tossing it away when it's just in a journal or a newsletter. So I thought that the best way of doing that was to create a beautiful picture book, because it couldn't be thrown away then. And so I had a vision of it as a picture book. The interesting thing that hadn't occurred to me at the time was that I wasn't an artist, and that I also had no knowledge of how difficult that would be, not being an artist, to create this. But the vision was there, not necessarily that I saw it as a completed thing, but that I saw people holding this and feeling the power of its message. And so I spent a good 4 years learning, how to do art. And I really, a lot of it was just based on failure. Is my mistakes showed me what else I needed to learn. And I think that's a metaphor for life. And so I did. I taught myself over 4 years how to paint and to draw. And I created this book. And it all really started with a vision. And that's kind of how I've learned to start anything now, is starting with the end in mind, knowing what it is that I want, why I want it, that's the values to support the vision, and then making a plan to go ahead and do it. And from that, I've been able to, kind of really change my life and create a life that's meaningful to me, and, it just feels great.
And the book is just really touching. It's, you have to wait until you get to the end to finally get the treasure from the book, because it takes you. And it is your audience that you wrote the book for. Did you actually start off with an age in mind?
No, not really. Perhaps maybe adults, because it's a big message. I mean, it's a big idea. We tend to think that we're shaped by the circumstances that happen to us, and to some extent we are, but more specifically, it's the meaning we assign to those circumstances that shape our life, and it comes back to meaning time and again, vision and meaning, and that's kind of what creates how we experience our lives. So I had adults in mind because it was such a big concept, but when I illustrated it, I made the picture so warm and loving and inviting that it has an appeal to children as well. And so although it's a huge concept, maybe if we started with that concept when we're very young, that we can create our reality and through our choices, our actions, our thoughts, our habits, then maybe children could really be creating a lot more of what they want for themselves, as opposed to by default, by learning what it is that they don't want.
Now, you have a lot of experience in the fact that you worked or has spent more than 18 years as an occupational therapist.
Yeah.
Can you tell me how that has shaped who you've become now and what your driving purpose is?
I think, to put it in a nutshell, it really taught me that what disability means. And disability has nothing to do with physical challenges or disease states or anything like that. I found that people with physical challenges who had the mental attitude of, I will engage in life in a way that's meaningful to me and purposeful to me, and I will make the best of everything, were much more, could even be more alive, more vital, and less disabled than people who are crippled by the way they're thinking about things. So I learned so much about people who can carry on through life with dignity and grace and humor despite physical setbacks, that to me a physical setback is not a disability at all. It may make things more difficult, and certainly we as a society can look to eliminate barriers. So it's not to say that to minimize it, it's just to say it's to maximize the mental attitude that these people have used to overcome their circumstances, and that was what is truly remarkable.
And how, for example, for someone right now who is going through some physical challenge, because we all have challenges, it's our human condition. I just listened on Sunday to my pastor, who is John Maxwell. John Maxwell, the great leadership speaker and motivational coach. He said, we are all of the human family, and because of this, we come with our innate nature, be a certain way. And challenges are it's not a mystery, it's not a surprise. We all have them. But what makes what I'm saying is that the physical ability for one to recognize a physical challenge, when you can actually look at a person and say, well, they have a handicap, well, they are challenged, basically. How can that person, for example, look at their situation and opt differently? What would have to be in their psychology? What has to be there?
Yeah. It's hard to kind of will yourself to be like positive and optimistic when you're not feeling that way. But, I've looked to the extremes to find out how people deal with really extreme circumstances and manage that. And so I look to the example of Viktor Frankl, who wrote Man's Search for Meaning and who was a Holocaust survivor. And Viktor Frankl was in 5 different death camps, and he saw people dying around him, and he lost his entire family. And as a psychologist, he really analyzed what made that so and what makes life bearable and for people to engage in it. So I went to the worst, one of the worst extremes I could think of is, how do you cope with something as awful as that? And what he did was he really looked at the role of meaning, and it just keeps coming down back to that. What meaning we can assign, if not now, because the circumstances are difficult, what positive meaning can we assign to this in the future? So if we are facing something right now in terms of a physical diagnosis, and certainly I can't tell anyone how to process their lives. All I can do is talk about some generalities of things that have helped for other people, and then each person decides what tools work best for them and get the support that they need. But in generally speaking, finding out, assigning some meaning, if not now, in the future, of what good can come of this. So it gets you in the frame of mind to go through this obstacle, if not around it or over it. And then getting all the good information, a good plan for how to handle it. And this also comes back to like the CEO skills that I teach, how to live CEO style, where you have a vision of what it is that you want, and then supported by your values, which gives you the meaning and energy to get through a difficult time or to get to your goal, and then a strategic plan of how to get there. And that's bringing in good information from good resources about how best to handle your situation, and then communicating, verbalizing what your needs are, and building a support team around you. And these are things that we could, skills we could all use in our everyday lives to manage just about anything.
Wow. I am sitting here, and every time I'm on these calls, I'm always writing, and it's like, oh, gosh, you just did like a major golden nugget. this is a plan. It's a plan of action, like what you said, the CEO of, now what you are working on is the CEO of me.
Yeah. That was a teleseminar I just did, and it's a series that I'm putting together. You know, it just that just name just appealed to me because it's kind of funny. You know, I felt like chief cook and bottle washer at lots of times in my life when I was overwhelmed with kids and diapers and working and household maintenance and, you know, all the roles and the many things that we do. And then when I realized that, you know, when you can get out from under your to-do list and you can be on top, you're like the CEO. And I just enjoy the whimsy of that, like I could be the CEO of my life, and so I put that together as a way of like a lighthearted way of going, you know what, people, we can get some control here. We might not be able to control all of our circumstances, but we can optimize, we can maximize, we could move through, and we can create what we want, and it starts with vision, and vision that's imbued with meaning. And that's really, you know, I think that's my message.
It's very, you know, for me, it's very strong because you definitely have a lot that you can use as a platform to support where you stand now. You know, I know in our conversation, I said to you, well, you know, you took the painstaking time to create a book, and then from your book, you were able to be an artist in the book and draw your own pictures and have your own message, which many people. Well, we all go through life saying, oh, you know, I can talk about this, I can create this, you know, one day I'll have the time to write this book, or I want my story, or I know that I can help other people through my story. You know, you took that, and you didn't do that just one time, two times, you've done it multiple times. You've done it with your book, The Treasure. You've done it with your company, the company that you currently own, that, you know, you said to me, Sandra, it got to the point that I had to make a decision to save my own life. You know, you felt something. Now, could you elaborate a little on that, the company that you have, and then what made it, what transformed you from being there, staying there, and moving forward to where you are now?
Yeah, okay, very good. Well, you've touched on a couple of points that I'd like to bring out, and if listeners can take anything away from this call, it's this. It's that if you have something that's meaningful and you really want to do something, you can. Now, people have a hard time believing that I didn't have art training before I painted these pictures. And I didn't. And they say, well, you know, you just must be a natural talent. No, I wasn't. None of the above. And it's just a matter of I wanted it that bad. I just wanted it that bad. And I was just willing to give up other things that were less important. It became such a priority. I would have up to 40 books at a time up to my bedside, at my bed, because I could only read, you know, at night when, because my kids were little, you know, and I was working during the day, and I would read and read and look at the pictures and try to figure out how to do art. And it took me 4 years to do 16 pictures. So if that, you know, an artist would have banged them right out, but not me. And the way that I was able to do it was by really looking at what was really there. And studying what was right in front of me, like the animals. I have animals in my book. Studying what a bear really looks like. It was really getting involved with reality, what it really is, and appreciating the beauty in it. And that's how I was able to do it. And then another example of something that I've done that's kind of unusual was at 30 years old, I decided to start ice skating because I had admired Peggy Fleming when she, you know, when I was a kid, and I liked the beauty and the grace of it. Now, there was not a chance that I was ever going to get confused with Michelle Kwan or impress anybody with anything that I could do on the ice at 30. For me, you know, maybe other people have more physical talent and skills, but I had never done anything physical, and so this was a brand new venture. Well, one day I got off the ice, and this woman came up to me. And she was like just aglow, and she said to me, I just have to tell you, I feel so proud of you. And I have no reason. I don't even know you, but I feel so proud of you. There was, let me rest assured, there was nothing I did on that ice to impress anybody other than the fact that I was there, that I just wanted something pretty in my life. I wanted grace. I wanted, and I was just going to go about it the best way that I can. Now, on the ice at the same time were some 9-year-olds and 12-year-olds who were doing axels, and they were doing flip jumps and sit spins. They were, you know, doing beautiful ice skating. But this touched something in this woman's heart. And I just think it's a testament if you really want something enough and you're willing to do the work, you know, you can have it and touch other people, not by how great you are at it, but just by the fact that you were willing to do it. And then to answer your question about my company, I did. I started a company. It's a therapy placement company because being an occupational therapist, I could see that you need companies to place therapists with these kids who need services. So I formed one of those. And that's where the whole chief cook and bottle washer thing came in.
Okay.
I was, you know, every department in the company, it was just me in a 6x8 office with a computer just doing everything. And it was a lot. For a lot of years, it was a lot of hard work. And I also had no business experience. So here I am again doing something that I have no experience with and knowledge of. But I did have the desire to be a part of helping children with disabilities and supporting their families. So I went ahead and started this company. But, you know, what was happening was it was an awful lot of work, and everyone wants work-life balance, and because the details of the job and, you know, the legal technicalities and all the read documents I had to read and stuff, it wasn't expressing my spirit, which was the wanting to share, you know, more, you know, being administrative. It wasn't the, you know, touching lives part. And so that was the part where it was like not killing me physically, but the spirit in me was getting dampened down by a lot of to-dos, a lot of doing. And there wasn't very much of being, of, you know, radiating a bright spirit. And that was my next desire was, I said, you know what, I'm losing me. I'm not even sure I know what me is because I haven't developed it yet, but I know I'm losing it. And so I worked long enough and hard enough that I was able to hire people to come and work in the company with me and to start taking over a lot of the responsibilities. And I said, you know, what is it that I really want to do? I want to support people. And so I learned about wellness. I have a book coming out in April about wellness. I hired a team of experts from around the country to tell me, how do you be well? And then I took wellness coaching classes and got certified in that. And now I'm in the business of supporting the caregivers and helping people put themselves on their own list, their own to-do list, so that they are taking care of themselves, they're more effective with taking care of others, and most importantly, they're getting the satisfaction out of life that they really deserve.
And it's beautiful because you and I tapped in on two different things. One was the theory that you hold of, you know, of how people see themselves, and the other one is transcending the ordinary experience.
Yeah.
Taking yourself into a higher version of who you truly are.
I love that. I love that.
You said it.
I know. I know. You know, for me, you know, really what you have control over is really who you are and who you want to be. And if you can just create versions, you know, ever more radiant and attractive versions, and I'm not talking about physical attractive, but you know, who do I want to be? For me, when I was kind of stressed out in those, you know, business days and overwhelmed, you know, who do I want to be? How do I want to be? Peaceful. That's how I want to be, peaceful. And could I change all my circumstances to make that happen? No. It became an inside job. And I did that by, you know, a lot of subtle little shifts of things I thought, read, started to do. And it became exponential. The shift really became exponential so that I really did start to achieve that peace, and I am there now, I'm so happy to say. And I like to just extend that to other people. And, you know, if they're interested, helping them find a way to their own peace as well.
Yes, Michelle, I also have to let you know something, and here I am putting myself on the red dot. Because our show is supposed to be an hour long, and I just switched over to a 1-hour show on Tuesday. However, on the Blog Talk Radio format, it says 30 minutes. So I'm here sitting on the other side of you trying to figure out, how do I extend this show for an extra half an hour? Right now, we have 4 minutes, and I've had a few callers. So, I want to get you back on because I feel that we've only been here for 20 minutes. And,
mm-hmm.
you have a program, you have coaching,
yeah.
you have the gifts that we want to give for pre-Valentine's.
Right.
You know, already, I mean, the gift when you said the CEO skills of having
yeah.
vision, of supporting the values, of having a strategic plan to get there.
Yeah, yeah.
Communicating what your needs are and then building a support team, that's
yeah.
already a gift. But I want you to elaborate on this. So what I'd like to do is take a phone call that's coming
uh-huh.
in, and I feel that this is important. And, and then maybe we can work something out, because I definitely want you to have your, have you on, in an hour.
Sure.
I don't know what your schedule is. So let's just take
sure.
a call.
I'm free, but okay, yeah. Hello.
Okay, the caller is from a 585 area code.
Okay.
Let's just make sure this caller is coming in. No, it's, I believe we're frozen in time here. So it's the 585 area call. I would like to take your question or comment. And if you can hear me, if you can speak, you're on the air. If you're not, then possibly we're just having the Block Talk's having a system error here. But what we can do is, if you are available, we can come back in about, normally it takes about a half an hour at least, or an hour, to create a new format. So what time would be good for you to come back on? Would 1:30 suffice?
I can come back on at 1:30.
Let's come back on at 1:30, because as soon immediately upon hanging up with you, I need to add the segment, and I'd like to give our listeners that. And if you can't listen to it at 1:30, then it will be archived, and it will be entitled Part 2 with Michelle Gentile. And let's, in closing, how can people reach you?
I'm thinking, I'm so interested in the callers and the comments that they have. If would it be okay to give my email so people can?
Of course.
Okay. So if you'd like to share something with me from what you've heard, my email is gentilesart, and that's my last name, GENTILESART, like art, gentilesart, @yahoo.com. And I look forward to hearing from you.
That's excellent. And I also gave out your website for
okay.
Which is it is in with www.thetreasure.mobi, MOBI.
Correct.
I will have that as well on the archive. And this is those moments of, what do you do when you make a mistake? Because for me, this is my own mistake. However, we're moving forward, and I definitely want to bring you on. And this is what happens with the live format of having a radio station utilizing this digital platform,
okay.
which allows you to, allows you to come back on. So let's do that. And in the meantime, I know that if you are making a difference, and you've touched so many people's lives, and you've certainly touched mine, and I just love the opportunity to get to share this platform with you, because I think that your gift of the human spirit, that's who you are.
Thank you. I also had another idea. I thought maybe I could give a phone number for the callers who wanted to talk with us. They could call my bridge line, and I could call in there.
Go ahead.
Okay. So I could give them that phone number. It'll just take me 1 second to locate it. Okay. It is. They can dial into 1-712-775-7100. And the access code is 304-492-pound.
Okay, and they can access that directly.
They can call, and I can get on. Right, I can get on the bridge line, and we can have a bunch of people get in, and we can continue a conversation. So again, the number is 712-775-7100, and the access code is 304-492. 30, 44, 92, pound.
Excellent. Okay, Michelle, well, I will see you back in 1 hour with The Treasure, Michelle Gentile, The Gift of the Human Spirit. More power to you. Power to be you. Thanks, Michelle.
Okay, thank you, Sandra. Bye-bye.